This episode of Sewing Out Loud is brought to you by the Made to Measure Leggings class from SewHere.com. This online class brings ZD right into your sewing room to show you how to measure, draft, and construct a pair of leggings based on your personal measurements. Go to SewHere.com/leggings to find out more and get access to all the videos and course materials immediately. That's SewHere.com/leggings.
Welcome to Sewing Out Loud, the official podcast of ZD Sewing Studio. Here are your hosts, ZD and Mallory.
Sewing Out Loud. Hello and welcome to the podcast. I'm Mallory Donahue.
And I'm ZD Donahue.
And we kind of were running out of time last podcast talking about wedding veils, so we split it into two pieces here.
Who'd have thought?
Now, before the podcast, we were looking for something. Or, Mom, you mentioned you had the Kai scissors downstairs.
In my bedroom.
No. Okay. Downstairs, up the stairs, in the bedroom.
I think they're my downstairs bedroom. I have two bedrooms.
Okay. Mom's redoing some stuff. Her house is a wreck.
I have to sleep downstairs because the dog can't make it up the steps anymore.
That's true.
This is all like a weird situation.
I keep forgetting that the dog kind of...
My home is a dog hospice right now.
Yeah.
And we can't move the furniture because he's blind. And it's like all about the dog.
As we've said before, it would be good if you wanted to come back in another life as one of ZD's dogs because she takes... good care of them. And
my dear husband said, boy, you've done a lot for that dog. And I'm like, okay, so if I go blind. And
are you going to take note?
Yeah.
Take note.
Is that it? It's over?
You wouldn't have.
You put me down then?
I see.
Is that when you put me down when I can't find my way out
the
door?
No, probably when you can't make it, anyway. I won't get too gross.
Anyway, the dog still responds to love and food.
Yes.
I cannot put him down yet.
No.
I've had him almost 12 years. I can't put him down.
That was a different tangent. I want to start off by saying that you were
the
Kai scissors, they're not, I need to bring them back. I said, well, I think we have that other pair.
They're in my dog hospice bedroom and not my regular bedroom.
Yeah, but I think we have this other pair and we were looking for them and Mom finds this pair of heavy up scissors, a popular brand. Of sewing scissors. And it's like, well, we have these two. And I'm like, I just can't use those. I just can't. They're too heavy. We use rotary cutters most of the time anyway.
Right.
Like, that's what our MO is. But if I have to use scissors, those heavy scissors just hurt my hands. I said, I'm kind of a scissor.
Well, and the reason I had the scissors downstairs is I had, the Accomplished downstairs and I was sewing, I was doing boat sewing.
Yeah,
I preferred not to try and rotary cut parts of these things on my living room hardwood floor.
Sometimes you need scissors, for sure.
And I was cutting strapping and things like that, too.
Those Kai scissors are nice. And the thing is, the Kai scissors.
I will tell you, they cut like butter. I was like, okay. Maybe if I had these, I would have never tried the rotary cutter. I mean, they just go smooth through it.
They cut so nice. But then we also, I think we're like using them in the best way possible because since we use the rotary cutter so much, we kind of preserve the scissors.
Conserving them.
We don't use them a lot.
It's like, this is the good china. This is the good scissors and this is the everyday scissors.
It's easy to replace a rotary blade real quick.
Right.
Anyway, but I said, I kind of sound
if
like.
If you have them, if you don't run
that's
out of
right,
them.
That's
if
right.
If your daughter doesn't run
Wait,
out
do
of
we,
them.
We have them though. No, I ordered some.
Yeah,
okay.
You got some.
Okay, good. Move. But I said.
It was like being crippled when I didn't have them. Yeah.
I said, I sound like a scissor prima donna. And I was like, probably because I am a scissor prima donna.
Oh, are you a prima donna about just scissors?
And then Mom was like, well, maybe I'm a prima donna too. I was like, yeah, you are. Where'd I learn it from? And now we're raising little Zelda who, she's fitting right in, isn't she?
She is.
Yes, she is.
Except Jum came over to my house yesterday, and he had this big, huge bow in his hair. It was adorable. And then this piece of ribbon around his neck. And he needed to model it for
us. Well, he stole that from Zelda, and she was kind of angry that, he got to go model it because she wore that to school. She wore that big bow yeah. and the ribbon around her waist yeah. to school. She said, "My friend said this wasn't a belt." And I said, "Well, it's a kind of belt." She's like, "Yeah, like a fashion belt." And I said, right. "Yes." And I was
she
like,
told me she was stylish.
I said, yeah. "Sometimes you're going to wear stuff and people aren't going to know what it is, and that's fine. You just got to wear it and be confident."
You can't help it if they're not educated.
I said, "That's what I used
that's
to
not
do."
Your problem.
Yeah. So she's fitting right in.
Hillary didn't go through this phase particularly, but Mallory went through what I called the Easter egg phase.
I made that up. Like, I just want to say, name is made up by me.
Right.
I named
the
Easter egg
phase. She went through this phase where she wore like rainbow of colors every day. It was pink shoes.
Okay, the outfit that I really remember is I had these bright blue patent leather slingback shoes. And they were like, I think they were peekaboo toe. And then I wore a pink... Easter egg pink, pastel pink, linen capri pants.
Yes.
And then I wore this like chartreuse sublimation dyed top that had like sparkle lace for the straps. I mean, it sounds like an abomination. Anyway, and then if I needed a cardigan, I had a lavender cardigan along with it. So anyway.
And that wasn't her only colorful outfit.
No.
There were others.
That was one that kind of sticks in my mind. I remember that. Anyway, let's talk about this wedding veil. What are we going to do? So we talked about wrapping the comb. Let's try and describe this process a little bit. The zigzaggers are going to get the live video of this. This is going to be our next zigzagger live broadcast. So you want to see a video, tune in. So what you said, order a little more tool because you're going
to
need it, right?
You're going to have to play with the tool. And probably almost every time. I mean, even when I was making these on sort of a routine basis, I always, threaded my machine up and tried that stitch. You know, you might want to take notes on your stitches, too, because I was just thinking, did I write this down?
I took a picture at some point, so maybe we can look through.
Yeah, because the trim I'm actually putting on the veil that we're getting ready to complete is a rat tail trim, on the bridal illusion. And, I played with it for a while because I hadn't done it. So, I came up with a stitch length and a stitch width because I'm using a zigzag. So I don't remember what it was, but I think it might have been like 3.5 and 3.5 or 3 and 3 or something like that.
But can we talk about the wrapping the comb?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to say. Sorry.
I feel like we did that because we've already filmed
it.
Yeah,
I know. So talk about the strip of tulle.
Right. Like, I just take a strip of tulle.
What is it?
Usually it's the width.
Just
the
width
tulle
of the
tulle. I have. Okay. Right.
Is it 4 inches wide?
I think I made it 3 inches
wide.
Oh,
okay.
It might have been four. Two or three. We didn't write that down either. But anyway, this is not a hard thing. If you start to wrap the comb and you don't like what you're getting, you can certainly stop and redo it.
Okay.
It might have been 4 inches. I really think it was 3 for some reason.
So you just got this like long strip of tulle, right?
And now, did I double it over? I folded it over, sort of.
It's like you kind of scrunched it to compress
it. No, I'm trying to think.
Did I
do it? No, I'm thinking I folded in half.
Let me watch.
So that it was only like 60 inches long.
I see. So you doubled it over.
Right. So it's actually a double thickness. So that was like 3 inches, but it was actually a double 3 inches.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. Two layers. Let me hear. Right. I have this little video. What do you think? I don't know if I can tell. I might need to watch the next video.
It's definitely doubled.
Doubled.
Yeah.
Okay, so you took this big 108-inch by 3-inch piece, and you folded it in half.
It made a 50-something inch or 60-something inch, long, 3 inches wide, double thickness.
Okay,
right?
So then...
Because this bridal illusion is like air.
Yes, so you compress it down, and we're going to... What we're talking about here, what we're about to get to, is we're going to pad the top of the comb.
Right.
To make a platform
our
veil.
What I call the side of the comb. I don't know what it is.
You call the side of... Like, I'm thinking of it like it's the top, but it could be the side.
See, I'm thinking about the regular comb.
Uh-huh.
So you have the side,
yes,
and the top is one end, and the bottom is the other end, and the teeth are lined up in the middle horizontally, and the side is the part that you hold on to.
Yeah, so
I don't know if that's right.
So this is the part, what we're going to do.
I don't know my comb...
comb orientation right. and geography. Yeah. So the part we're wrapping is the part that's mm-hmm. like the source of the teeth. The teeth are coming out right. of it. And you laid, so it does, I don't think that it would really matter if it was like the two raw edges or the folded edge, but you laid a little piece parallel to that right. top of the comb mm-hmm. and threaded it through the end tooth.
So I'm holding basically those, the dead end or whatever.
Right.
Okay, onto the comb, an inch or two, mm-hmm. like over the, what I'm calling the side of the comb.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, and then I take the length and I start wrapping and going through the base of the teeth, right? So that you wind up wrapping
That
handle of the comb, whatever. Uh-huh. The dead end winds up under there. Yes.
Yeah.
So I'm not affixing it with glue or anything. I'm affixing it with the tension of the tool.
Yeah. And I love that.
Okay, and the tool is kind of stretchy, so you can get some tension. And because it's the layers and because it's kind of woven, like, you know.
It grabs onto itself.
It's like a honeycomb. Yeah. It kind of sticks to itself.
Netting, yeah.
I've never had a problem with this coming out or anything.
Yeah, I love it that there's no glue, personally. I don't know. We've talked about this in my glue version.
Well, and if you had used glue... I mean, you could have, like, glued it on there for some security or something, but you would have had to wait almost for it to dry a little bit.
It's just not necessary,
yeah,
right?
It's just, you don't need it.
So,
and you kind of want this wrapping to kind of have a little bit of a fluff to it, because you're actually going to sew the veil to that wrapping.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
So you wind up with this kind of poofy little cushion across that part of the comb.
Okay, so as you've wrapped between each tooth, wrap. You've covered off that first dead end of tool, mm-hmm. and then you come to the end, and you have, like, the rest
so
of the tool.
So now I'm at the end, and I should have some tool left over. And
yeah, unless your comb is 10 feet wide.
You certainly would have noticed had you not, because this is a short job.
Yeah, right.
And actually, it's quick. I guess, you know, if you screwed it up, had to do it again, it wouldn't, like, drive you crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, when you get to the end, I think I go through the last, you know, the end of the comb where the last slot is, uh-huh. right? But I leave a loop of the tool,
mm-hmm.
right? And, you know, we sort of use the same manipulation in a lot of things, like crocheting a chain.
Yes.
It's very, very similar.
You're weaving in an end kind of thing.
Right.
Yeah,
so I leave that loop and I go through that end, and then I bring that, you know, raw end or dead end right through the loop I've made, and I can pull it tight.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So it's, I mean, this is how I knot the end of a sewing thread when I'm hand sewing, right?
And so once again, you're just like popping it back through there. Now, you used, I think, some hemostats.
So I got that down sort of tight,
mm-hmm.
right? And then at the end, I pushed some under there, and then I don't know if I used hemostat or tweezers, some sort of pickups. I don't remember. But I went under there and pulled it through farther.
Yeah.
So that, you know, I sort of hid the end. Pull the end out, cut it, and then when I let it go, it sort of went back in and hit itself.
Yeah, so once again, no glue.
Right.
No glue.
And that's exactly, honestly, how I hand sew. I make that knot. I make that crocheted knot. I go sort of through it for the last time. And then what I do with my end of my thread is I go down in my project, my fabric or mm-hmm. whatever it is. I go down into it and pull it out and pull it and clip the thread and then let the thread go back in.
Right.
So I have, and the reason you do that, right, is you never want to clip close to a knot, because that's where it starts to come out.
Right.
You want some length for that knot to grab onto. This is even when you're tying up your boat, okay?
Is it useful boat knowledge?
Right, right.
Yeah,
you don't want it to be at the end, because that end, you know, if it moves even a fraction, it will start to slip out.
Yeah, so... I love this, that you do this with no glue, and then
right.
part of the reason you do it is so you don't have to glue later, okay?
Right, right.
So we, when we're planning this broadcast, I filmed you you know, wrapping the comb, etc. Part of it I'm not going to film and that we're going to show with a diagram is cutting the tool, because I tell you what, filming cutting out tool is the...
No, it's like you're showing that you're cutting nothing.
Yeah, it's like, look so where I'm cutting. You know, so we're going to... That's a diagram. We've talked about how you've got your big rectangle. We talked about that last podcast. We're rounding it off with our snowman dinner plate thingy that we have.
And we use a rotary cutter. Obviously, you can use the scissors.
I will tell you what, though. Cutting tool... with scissors.
It's it's like air. There's no weight to it, so it doesn't want to stay in one place. It's very difficult.
If I tried to cut tool with scissors right now, mm-hmm. I would get the jaggedy jaggedies, okay?
That's right. It doesn't come out as smooth as with that rotary
cutter.
And
I know that there are people who don't get the jaggedies because they're like used to it, but right. I get out my rotary right. cutter for sure. So we're going to cut that.
Rotary cutter's also quicker.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And then we're going to edge it. We talked about edging techniques last mm-hmm. time. You are going to do that long sort of narrow zigzag mm-hmm. over the rat tail.
Using my beading foot, I believe. Piping or beading foot?
I think on the sewing machine, this foot, this foot you have is called the narrow piping foot, actually.
Okay, so you want a foot that has a nice slot in it that your rat tail or whatever your trim is can go through and will be guided, okay, and guided under the needle. You'll still do some guiding with your hands, like on feeding it and everything, but you want it to be held in the same place when it passes that needle and that stitch, okay?
And you're going to arrange for your needle to be sewing in the proper space.
Exactly. That's why you want that foot to hold it there. Yeah. Now, you can use... Sometimes you can use a zipper foot. Sometimes right. has a slot like that, especially uh-huh. a invisible zipper.
Yeah,
it'll have a groove. Pin tucking feet will have grooves.
Yeah,
like
invisible
that.
Zipper feet for itty bitty piping are great.
Very
right?
nice. You know, and when I say pin tucking feet. There are like multitudes of sizes of pin tucking feet.
Right.
So, a beading foot has a slot like that. I'm trying to think what else might have a slot.
I want to
beading,
point
piping,
out.
Piping, you know, sometimes a piping and a beading foot, they will use that, will be the same foot.
Yeah.
They'll use that interchangeably.
I want to point out that the slot on this foot that you have in the machine, this, I think it's called the mini piping foot in Baby Lock Land, is to the left. Okay.
Okay.
So it's not a centered channel, mm-hmm, okay?
Right.
So you need to be aware of this. And then if you remember our little, like, kind of going through the machine series.
But you don't have to remember really hard because you're going to test.
But yes. I just want to say your right. machine will have different ways of you orienting the stitch right. within the stitch space. And right. so if you're curious about that, the episode that we did about, like, where and how to move your needle and your stitch and all that right. is relevant here. So yours is a little bit to the left.
Right.
So you're going to edge the veil. And then let's take a quick break and talk about how then we're going to put it on the comb. Unless, have I missed anything about the edging?
We need to talk about the thread and the needle.
Oh, okay. Well, let's talk about all that when we come back. Hey, ZD. Wouldn't it be cool if everyone who listened to this podcast could learn how to make perfectly fitting leggings directly from you, the leggings expert?
Well, yes, Mal. That's why we produce the Made to Measure Leggings class. I teach anyone, no matter their age, ability, or gender, to make perfectly fitting leggings based on their measurements. And if someone is feeling particularly generous, they can make leggings for anyone who they can get to stand still long enough to measure.
You, yes, you, can get immediate access to all the videos and course materials in the Made to Measure Leggings class by going to sewhere.com/leggings. This online class allows you to complete the process at your own pace, and you own it forever, so you can rewatch it as many times as you need.
Stop struggling with the leggings that roll down or sag in the wrong places. I'll be your guide as you create leggings that are made especially for you.
No matter what your equipment or skill level, ZD covers everything from measuring, drafting, cutting, and construction on a sewing machine or serger in this class. Go to sewhere.com/leggings and get started today.
Sewing out loud.
It's time.
time for another season of The Palmetto Porch, an original podcast from Discover South Carolina. I'm Devin Whitmire. Join me as I get to the heart of what makes South Carolina such a great place to visit by speaking to the locals who make it so special. Premiering December 5th, find The Palmetto Porch wherever you get your podcasts. And for more information about our show, visit scpalmettoporch.com.
And we're back. Okay,
we are.
Thread and needle. Yeah, I don't think we talked about that last time.
Okay, and if you hear a little click click in the background that might sound like raindrops or something like that.
Raindrops.
It is the dog's toenails on our sewing floor.
Yeah.
And this is like the new dog, and considering the weather and what's going on right now, this is just the best place.
You're
for
part
us.
Of her training.
Yes.
Dear audience. Okay. So we're trying to get her to like chill during podcast
and
recording.
She chills. She just came up here, and usually she will lay down and chill. If you hear that click click, it's not any of our equipment. Yours are ours.
Okay, so thread and needle, what are you using for this rat tail?
So I immediately just went and grabbed a size 70 Microtex needle.
Uh-huh.
It's sharp and it's small. And it's what I don't remember what I used to use. I probably used a 70 before, okay? I would think, you know, a small, sharp needle. The only reason it needs to be sharp in, I would say, this particular instance is I want to make sure it goes through that satin rat tail without snagging it.
Yeah.
So I definitely want it sharp. I definitely want it to be new, right? And I want it to be small.
Yep.
Okay. The thread I'm using is the top thread. I'm using an embroidery thread, a white embroidery thread.
Uh-huh.
I'm planning on this not showing, mm-hmm. right? And I believe I have an embroidery bobbin in the bottom. So it's just, you know, a very lightweight bobbin weight thread that you would use for embroidery.
Yeah, so if you don't own an embroidery machine, mm-hmm. so we do, and so we have like a ton of embroidery
right.
thread. If you don't own an embroidery machine and you never plan to embroider, it still might be a good idea for you to have like white and black embroidery thread. When we say embroidery machine embroidery
right.
weight, it's smooth, it's lightweight, because
well, it's the best thing in the world for buttonholes.
Well, yeah, buttonholes.
Yep. Listen to the buttonhole podcast.
We talked about
if
it for hemming jeans too.
Yep.
But there still might be a reason for you to have a few of these spools mm-hmm. on hand. They're good for decorative stitching, hemming.
Applique machine applique.
Yeah. So
you know,
just
machine
so you...
applique. You don't really want your flat drab construction threads.
Yeah, generally
you're pretty
not.
Pretty much like something that's going to lay nice and flat for you.
Even if you're looking for a matte look, getting
right.
like cotton.
Then get a cotton
embroidery thread.
Right.
It'll lay more nicely. But I think sometimes people are like, well, I'm never freaking buying that because I don't have an embroidery machine. But you might end up.
Okay, I can tell you, when I first started doing machine applique, which would have been in the 70s,
uh-huh.
that is 1970. Okay. I was just using construction thread and not really high quality. I didn't know what I was doing.
Sure.
You know, and I was trying to find books in the library or somebody to tell me, and nobody was. And so, you know, I'm just doing this on my own. And I can go back and look at that stuff, and I'm like, whoa, the difference. Now, I was happy with it because I was accomplishing something.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny the difference in the look and how it lays flat and nice and, you know, It's definitely a nicer look.
Right. So anyway, just there are some sort of more practical applications or
right.
applications outside of machine embroidery
right.
where
you
still
do not
might
have
want this
to
thread.
Have a chest full of it like we do.
No, and
right.
maybe you want to like maybe you're cool with buying some smaller spools.
Right.
Now, are people
now, if
who
you
are,
don't have that,
yeah.
and you have a serger, your serger thread is a lighter weight also,
mm-hmm.
so you may want to use sure. your serger thread. This is going through the conventional sewing machine. But you could use your serger thread because it's lighter weight. And you need to make sure that you wind that bobbin with some serger weight thread, too.
And then, just an aside, we're talking about finishing Jordan's veil with the rat tail. But all the serger finishes you may want to use, you could consider embroidery thread for a lot of those,
exactly.
too.
Exactly.
If you want just the smoother look, a shiny look,
right.
a, you know, you may want to be putting embroidery thread through your serger at some point, wedding veil or not. So, okay, we're going to edge this veil. with a Microtex needle, some embroidery thread. If you don't have embroidery weight bobbins, you can wind the bobbin with the embroidery thread.
Right.
And we talked about your stitch. It's long and narrow, and you tested it.
I did.
Per your materials, right?
Right.
Your stuff.
And you know, it's wider than I thought it was going to be.
Okay.
Because I started out with like a width of 2 or something, and I'm pretty sure I wound up with like a 3 because I still wanted to take a good bite out of that.
Yeah.
And what the other thing that happened with the rat tail is it did sort of roll it over.
Yeah.
So it rolled it back a little bit, which is, I mean, I don't want this coming off on her.
No.
Even though she, you know, she's good. Okay, I'm going to spend hours making this veil, basically, you know, with sourcing where the fabric was and deciding how to do it and testing. And because I also don't do it all the time, right?
Right.
So I'm probably going to spend a couple hours on this veil and she's going to wear it for 10 minutes. But that's how things go.
Yeah, right.
So anyway... you've got your edges cut and you've got your veil and you've tested. You've tested and you've decided how you're going to do your stitch. Do you need some tearaway stabilizer? You know, some machines might not hold this tool up as well as others.
Yeah.
Okay. So you may need some sort of melt away stabilizer. It goes through this baby lock just fine. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, I have to be careful. I can't pull it. I can't push it. I guide it.
So the tool, like we've said, it's this netting, and it's a little stretchy, flexy.
Right.
So you can get it out of shape.
That's correct.
Yeah, you can if you're handling it.
Oh, and, you know, the last thing you want is a veil that's got, like, gathers in it.
Or like, whatever. It's curly in one place and not in another.
Not in the other, right.
It's okay if it's curly everywhere.
And when you do get, and when you do get on your curve, it will tend to want to be curlier, you know, because that's the bias. So you may get a little bit of something there that looks a little different than the straight edge as far as, you know, how it's acting, how it's draping. But, you know, you'll be okay.
Yeah. So let's pretend you got your edge on there.
Mm-hmm.
Yay. What do you do next?
I did get my edge on, yes. And what I did is I made sure that my fabric was not encumbered or
the last
thing you want to do is get that thing like almost edged and realize
you like snagged it somewhere or something.
Put a big hole in it, you know.
It is a lot of fabric too.
So you want a clean area, you know, it's white. You don't want a bunch of stuff on it.
One more thing. You've got this rat. We're working off a big spool of rat tail.
Right.
So not only is our fabric unencumbered, but also this big spool is
and
somewhere.
And my rat tail is on the floor in a little sort of, it was like a little decorative bucket. I think somebody gave me like some shampoos and soaps in one Christmas or something. You know, but it's a container. So my rat tail can roll off easily. It accommodates the size. But the spool won't roll across the room. Now, you may have a different situation where you bought your rat tail.
Yeah, it's
you
know,
off of a spool.
You
and
didn't
it's
buy
cut to a
100-yard spool of rat tail. What?
So, you know, find out where you want to put that, where it's safe and it's confined. It may be on your lap, in a bowl on your lap, or on the floor, or next to the machine. But make sure, because you don't want any tension on it whatsoever, you want it to flow freely.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So everything.
Right.
Yeah. Make sure stuff's clean. You're working with this white veil, maybe, or very light colored veil. You know, did your bride ask for dog hair on the veil? Probably not.
I don't think Jordan would mind. But anyway.
You know. Anyway. So, yeah, keep all of that in mind. Now we've edged it. How are we putting this baby on the comb? What's going on next?
Okay. So now, how are we going to gather this? Okay. So, I machine stitch across the raw end of the veil.
Yep.
Okay, so that is the width of the fabric that is going to be attached to the comb.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's best to do 2 rows of stitching. Whenever I gather anything like this that's very, very fine, and I want it to be very even and very nice, right? I use 2 rows of stitching. This is how I put in a puff sleeve. This is how, you know, if I'm gathering a tutu or something, this is how I do it. Well, sometimes I go across a thread, too.
Yeah, sometimes we like to.
Right.
Right.
Go across the string and pull it. Mm-hmm. But this, basically, I just stitch it. Okay.
So
I have a long straight stitch.
Uh-huh.
Now, again, you will have to try this out.
I want to preface this with, if you've got a machine with an automatic thread cutter or something like that, before you start a gathering stitch, it's nice to give yourself long tails ahead of time. Mm-hmm. So like on the Destiny here, it's super convenient and just so amazing that it cuts the thread and the bobbin thread's still underneath, okay? But when I want to start out a big, long gathering stitch where I want tails, I have to send the top thread down, bring up the bobbin thread. Then I have my presser foot up and I pull these to give myself a long tail to start
and
stitching.
And you want to know which thread is your bobbin thread.
You do want to know that.
You absolutely want to know it, because if you pull the top thread, you're screwed.
Yep.
Okay? What will happen is it will tighten up on you, and then it's the whole process is screwed on, you know, how you pull it and get it gathered. So if you've ever tried to gather anything in that way where you put a long stitch in something and then you pulled a thread to gather it and it wouldn't work, it's because you're pulling the wrong thread. It's the bobbin thread you have to pull, because the top thread goes around the bobbin thread and comes up.
Yeah.
So if you pull that thread, it just tightens
it. It's not going to
work. The bobbin thread pulls it through. Okay. So do what Mallory said. And you want tails on any
You want tails
machine.
On both sides, though,
and,
too.
Yes. Okay. So and you want it on, no matter what machine you have, whether it has, you know, the cutter or not. Yes, you want a long tail. But she's correct. On the one that cuts it, you may want to, you know, pull it out a little bit farther or something. But I guess it goes on one that doesn't have a cutter, too. But anyway, so you are stitching from the right side.
Yeah.
So I know by how I put on my rat tail what is the right side.
There
and
you
how,
go.
Or how I put on my trim, what is the right side of my veil. Now, if you don't and you've used some other sort of finish or you're not sure or you're afraid you won't, what you're going to do is take a piece of low-tack tape and stick it on the right side of your veil. I'd stick it like, you know, on the one side, not, you know, on one. When I say side, on the right
side
of one end of the top of my veil on the right side, just so I always knew that I was what I was working with, that I could look at it and go, oh, this is the right side. If you can't remember whether you put it on the right side or not, put RS on your tape and then stick it on the right side. And then you'll remember you're on the right side. But I just stick a piece of tape on because I know that is the least encumbering thing to do to this tool.
Right.
Okay. If you use a pin or a safety pin or a straight pin, anything else, you have more of a likelihood of, you know,
snagging, ripping.
Right. Absolutely. Of somehow defacing this beautiful veil you're making. Okay. So, you know, if you need to do this, put a piece of... if you can't tell the difference between the top and the bottom, you don't really have to worry about it. But you have to stay on the same side when you're doing these two rows of stitches.
You need to know it for you,
So, usually a four, length of four.
Four does it.
On your machine will do it. Again, you have tried this, right?
Yeah.
You have already tried this. So, very close to the edge, right? Maybe a quarter inch in, 3/8 inch in. Here's what I actually like to do. I like to go maybe more like a half inch in and do my first stitch. And my second row, I go to the farther to the outside. Because then it's more stabilized.
Okay. Yeah. Absolutely.
All right. Before I start pulling any threads or anything like that, I determine where the middle of the top of this veil is.
Okay.
So now I have two lines of stitching that I plan to gather, but I have not.
Yep.
Right? Then I want to mark the center of this veil. There's many ways to do that. A pin, a little nip, like I, you know, my center nip that I do with your scissors. Honestly, you can even put a little mark of color.
Yeah, so
this is not going to show.
This part, like putting a pin here,
right?
You're probably going to be okay because it's late in the process. You're just going to gather.
And
you're
basically,
you know,
you're kind of putting the pin through those lines of stitching anyway.
And it's going to be hidden.
Right. And more than likely, but whatever feels safe. But you do need to know where that center is. Okay, the center is very important. And what I do is I then hold the center and go to one end and start pulling and gathering, pulling and gathering, pulling and gathering, right? And then when I think I have that gathered up to about 2 inches or so, because I've got my comb right next to me, so I can keep laying it on my comb, you know, to make myself happy, right?
Right. Yeah, keeping the comb close by. Good
idea. I don't have to measure it. The comb's measuring it for me.
Yeah.
And then, you know, when I have that about where I want, leave those tails on there, right, and everything. Then I go. Now, sometimes I will tie those two bobbin threads together.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
that I have them to grab again.
That's nice.
Right? Yeah. And it doesn't impede anything. It just keeps them together and they're right there together and I'm pulling them at the same time.
Uh-huh.
And I don't think I said that, but I want to pull these bobbin threads at the same time. So I want to gather this these two rows at the same time.
Yeah,
that's
no,
what
good
gives
call
me
out
this
there.
Nice,
yeah.
smooth gather. Okay. Now I go. I'm still can grip the middle, and I go to the other side, and I start gathering. And I get this to be about the size of the comb,
mm-hmm.
right? Okay. When I feel like I have it the size of the comb, I will go ahead and start to place it on the comb, okay? Before I finish, like, before I stop it at the ends, okay?
Uh-huh.
So what I do is I am going to pin onto this nice puffy little thing. Remember when we wrapped the comb?
Yes, I do. No, that's my favorite.
Right, I have this nice little puffy cushion part, yeah. right, that I get to pin this to.
Yeah.
All right. How do I pin it, Mallory?
I don't know.
Okay. I'm going to hold the comb in my hand to explain this. I think.
Are you? Here's a comb. Hold on. I have the box
oh, yeah,
O combs.
Yeah. We have like
this
5 million combs here.
This
okay.
face maker.
So this is going to be attached to the underside of the comb.
It's
going
to look backwards.
The concave. Real bad.
Really good.
It's going to look
like
backwards and upside
yes,
down.
Yes, backwards
okay?
and upside down.
It's going to look backwards and upside down. So it goes. It's going to go onto the concave surface.
Yes.
And it really helps to hold this. Because, like, it makes me visually be able to
okay,
say
so it's going
to
go on the concave surface.
Right.
Where's the raw edge?
The raw edge is up and pointing away from the teeth.
Yep.
That's what I call up because that's what up is
so,
going to be on her head.
So it's like, so yeah, we say up.
So the veil is going in the same direction as the teeth.
It's flowing down.
And the raw edge is up on where you wrapped that comb.
So
right?
that when the veil like flips its hair over, okay, when we flip the tool over the comb, no raw edge
okay.
is visible.
So are you okay, putting the right side down or the wrong side down on your veil?
The wrong side will face the comb. Yeah, it will.
After you flip it.
Wait, but the wrong side. No, okay, so I was wrong. The right side will touch the concave part of the teeth.
You got
oh,
it.
Man.
So the wrong side is up to you. Up, you know.
Yeah,
you're
right.
working from the wrong side. Basically.
So the wrong side's facing you. Right. You're holding the
so
comb.
So your right side goes down on the concave little
okay.
poofy part.
I said it wrong the first time, everybody.
You did.
I said it wrong.
You did.
Yep.
Because this gets flipped.
Gets flipped.
Okay.
Gets flipped.
So I take my veil that I have gathered, right? Now, it's still, I haven't secured that those pleats in any way, really. I've just gathered it up so that I can handle it.
But this is kind of nice when if you think about this and you're like, oh, my God, this sounds terrible because you've gathered, like, other things, like puff sleeves or whatever. But the tool kind of grabs onto itself.
Yeah,
the
tool kind of stays where you put it.
This
it doesn't
is when,
want, yeah.
There's one part where tool is, like, being nice to you.
Honestly,
okay?
Veils are kind of easy, I think.
Yeah, in the grand.
I mean, and they're easy to make look really professional.
Yeah.
That's what's nice about them. So, okay, the raw edge is pointed up away from the teeth, and the right side is down mm-hmm. on the concave surface that you have wrapped.
Mm-hmm.
And you are just sort of butting that edge up against
sort of the top of the comb.
The top of the comb,
yeah.
right? And, you know, it doesn't have to be absolutely even. You can trim this, okay, if you have to make it look better. But, so I know now I'm going to mark this. I've got the you know, mark the center of my comb if I haven't yet, because I want to know where that center is, because that's where I'm going to put the center of my veil, right side down.
Where you got
on
your little mark or your pin. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And it will pin right in because you have covered that with that other tool.
Yeah.
Okay. Now I can look at it and see how it looks, and I can go to one side and gather that up so that it goes to the end of the comb.
Yeah.
Right. And now I can, you know, secure that in some way, like knot those off, or sometimes you can just pin it there.
And then you're going to, like, sew it in
and
it'll
stay. Right. If you pin it, it'll stay.
So then you hand.
I also like clips.
Yeah.
I have clips and pins out when I'm doing this.
Yeah.
I like the pins because I feel like I can leave the pins in while I sew this on.
Yeah, right.
The clips I have to remove. I have used clips on the end sometimes when, you know.
Whatever.
Especially depending on the trim
mm-hmm.
and how you have to put it there. Because you want that trim to sort of, you know, being tucked under
yeah.
there.
Yeah. Okay? Yeah. Not like sticking out the side
right.
of your comb.
You want your riage of your trim, you know, you want to manipulate it to under there. Okay. Then I go and I repeat that on the other side. So now I basically have my veil mm-hmm. attached to my comb with pins or clips or however I decided to do that, mm-hmm. right? And I'm going to hand sew this on.
Yeah.
Okay. You can use just about any needle you want. I kind of like to use a rather large needle mm-hmm. because it's easy to hold. Because, you know, what you're going, you're not really even, this is funny, you're not even going through that much tool when you do this. You're doing, again, sort of a wrap.
Well, and once again, tool's easy to sew through because there's a bunch of holes
right,
in it.
This,
right?
This, yeah. I mean, this is pretty easy, guys. So I use a thread that is.
ZD's got to stand up,
yeah.
you know, because you can see it.
Alteration thread, mm-hmm. and it's called Silamide.
Yeah, we've talked about it before.
And it's a pre-waxed,
mm-hmm.
okay, strong hand sewing thread. You can buy it in many different ways. You can get it from your alterations supplier usually, and we have a couple of packages. One is white, one is off-white. We use this for many things. And it comes in 36-inch lengths, I think this is.
Yeah, so it's like
yeah.
this card you kind of get to hang on your wall or whatever, right. and you pull out a length at a time and you
right.
don't have to cut
and
it.
And you
it's
pull
cool.
it out of the little diamond-shaped
opening.
Opening in the middle, kind of like you'd pull a tissue out of a Kleenex,
yeah.
a Kleenex box. You don't pull it from the end. If you pull it from that center, that's what keeps them from getting tangled or messed up or anything.
Right.
So I use this.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pre-cut, so I just fold it in half, and I put the two raw ends through
uh-huh.
the eye of my needle. My big needle has a big eye, which is nice.
Easy
you know.
Peasy needle.
Yeah. I mean, not huge, but, you know.
You're not trying to, like, go real small, though.
No.
You're not,
yeah, but it's yeah. because, you know, it's not. It's just more dexterous to be able to use a larger needle
right.
in this case. So So now I have a loop there.
Yes.
Correct? So, this is 36 inches long.
It's doubled.
I fold it in half, and now it's like 18 inches long.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a loop. So I put the two raw ends through the eye of the needle. And so how I'm going to secure this when I go to my comb and my veil is I will take a stitch, and then I can put my needle through that loop, and I have not had to make a knot.
Right.
Okay.
It's like the cross. Well, it's not
yeah,
quite like the cross stitch.
Kind of cross stitch. You do
that. You kind of do it like yeah. that. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, you can
okay.
do it that way. It depends on if you do it that way.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So that way, you know, avoiding bulk, avoiding ugliness, whatever, you know. So now I start to stitch. And the way I do this is I'm going to do basically a cross stitch.
Yeah, you do X's.
I do X's. But they're really not X's till the second pass, right?
Sure, because you're
the first pass. So I choose to go through, and I go through the comb, and I go like, you know, I think it's every other tooth.
You get to use the teeth kind of as a
right,
guide,
right?
Right,
the teeth
yeah.
are your space, so you get this yeah. beautiful Ta-da. Looking stitch.
yeah.
You know, so I am stitching with the veil up, laying in the concave space, and I start at one end, and again, I've gone through the loop, so that looks nice still, right?
Yeah.
And I've got my two raw ends coming out of my
needle. Eye.
Right. So I go stitch, and I go to the edge of the comb, the upward part, which will be up when it's in her head, right? I go to the upper part, and I, you know, pick that spot that's whatever it is, you know, two teeth over, whatever. I go down, and I go into, so I'm going, like, into the veil and into the fabric that we wound on the comb, uh-huh. right? I come up. I go straight down, right?
Yeah.
So I've gone over to... but then come straight down. So I'm making a slant stitch.
Yeah, you're making a bunch of 45-degree angle sort of looking stitches. Right.
And then when I come, I get to the end, all I do is turn around and come back and repeat that, and it looks like it's big cross stitches.
Yeah.
Okay.
This looks so nice. It looks so nice. And I don't...
And it's not that anybody really sees
it. Yeah, and I don't even know... I can't even say... you know, definitively, that it's better. I've seen people like sew it to the comb and they sort of wrap the thread around the comb. It's probably fine. This just looks so nice when you do it like this, when you wrap the comb. I think it helps. So go ahead. I was just going to say,
well,
I think it helps with the
then
end result.
You know, I make it all the way back to the end. And
now
I do, and I do need to secure it.
Yeah.
And I do exactly what I just described earlier in this discussion, is that I take a couple of little chain stitches, mm-hmm. sort of, you know, right? I loop my thread and pull it through tight. And then I take that thread, wiggle it through, you know, the bulk of my fabric someplace, pull it tight, clip it, and then let it go, and it will hide itself.
Hide itself in the bulk.
It will hide itself in the
bulk.
Yeah. Now, what is absolutely freaking gorgeous, okay? Now you've taken all your pins out, and you may have taken your pins out on the way. It depends on, just depends on how stable you needed
it. How you're feeling it, yeah.
Right. You know, I used to like pin it, mm-hmm. and then I got to where I had like three pins in it. So, you know, it's just, you know, how well it goes for you.
Right. How's it going?
And the more you do it, the better it usually goes. But anyway, practice. Anyway, then you'll get this all out. And honestly, your veil is complete. And all you do now is flip that veil over that comb.
So I think the padding that you do, the wrapping mm-hmm. of the comb, so not only I think it makes for easier stitching and everything, but I think it lifts the veil.
It does.
You know,
it makes
over
it,
the comb.
It gives it more of like a waterfall look.
Yeah.
I think also you don't see the gathers. The gathers are basically underneath.
Yeah.
And then what happens is when you're flipping it over then, you know, those gathers sort of spread. That also, you don't see the ends of the comb, or that, you know.
Yeah. So the way we've done it, there's no further stitching after you do your X's.
Right. You're done.
You don't have
to
like flip it over and stitch again.
No,
okay.
No.
That's that.
In fact, when you hang this up, you won't hang it up that way. You'll just hang it up by the comb and let it hang straight.
Right.
You know? And what it's doing when you do that, so it's hanging, like, it's kind. Okay, so it's not hanging down with the teeth. It's hanging away from the teeth.
Yes.
So it's making that one turn, and then when you put it on the bride, it
makes
the
other turn
over.
Yeah.
Right. This has proven just to be excellent for me. Now, because I had not done this for a while, I went to the internet, okay, and checked everybody out. Did anybody have a better way, an easier way? It was anything... Did I need to change my technique?
Right.
And
ZD concluded.
I was like, man, nobody's caught up with me yet. But anyway. No, really. I was very surprised.
I always liked you. I think.
Were you surprised? Tova was surprised.
That means
she wants attention,
She
guys.
Was surprised. So, okay. We had to take care of Tova. We do like to look around on the internet first to make sure that, I don't know, something hasn't changed.
Or some new idea, better idea.
Yeah, new idea, new technique or whatever. Haven't come across this particular set of steps, have you?
You know, I was surprised. You know, there was a lot of glue being used.
Right.
now, if you didn't have a sewing machine, you know, there were people gathering the veil by hand.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is fine. Here's the issue with gathering it by hand, or the difference, okay? Yeah. You can get such a more even and finer gather, okay? The other thing I saw was people using, like, what I used to call dime store tool, although there's no more dime stores. I guess those are dollar stores.
They're $1.50 stores now.
Yeah, now they're $1.50 stores. But, you know, it was, like, stiff.
Yeah.
You know, stiff tool, okay, which has its purposes. I mean, you know, so you got this.
But you think they were trying to get a different look than they
I don't think they were. I mean, what happened is then, they show this veil, and to me, you know, it didn't flow. It didn't look soft.
That's what I mean. Yeah, they weren't.
I'm sure everybody was happy with what they got.
Yes.
But I do know that this veil looks soft. It looks flowy. It looks professional. The way it sits in the hair, no matter what the hair
It's very versatile.
Yes. Yeah. You know, it looks good. Have I done veils onto like a headband or a tiara before? Yes. Generally, I would always talk to the bride and say, are you sure you don't want it on a comb? Because if it's, you know, you can continue to wear your tiara during the reception or whatever, and have it put into your hair at the hairdresser.
Right.
Okay, and you know, otherwise you're having your veil put in your hair at the hairdresser. Then you're walking, and you're trying to get dressed with a veil on, and all, you know. So having them separate, I've always felt there was an advantage.
A lot of people like that,
right?
Yeah. Well, anything else to add before?
Well, I have had people ask me to put, you know, the embellishment on the veil. Mm-hmm. So we've done that too.
Yeah.
You know, and they didn't care. Then they just wanted it out, you know, after or whatever. The other thing I think, Mallory, I think you are thinking about doing something special. I don't know if you're afraid Jordan might listen to this.
Well, yeah. Why don't we share that
later?
Yeah. Why don't we share that later?
I think one footnote I might have is that I said the silamide thread.
Yeah.
I told you what I used. I told you what it doesn't have to be that.
Sure.
Okay. Sure. You know, two strands of good construction thread would work there.
Yeah.
I really like the silamide. It doesn't tangle or anything because it's pre-waxed. It's easier to use.
It's a nice thing to go through the tool with.
Right. Yeah, right. But, you know, two strands of sewing thread should be fine.
Yeah. It'll definitely, you know, do the trick. Okay. Well, thank you all for listening. ZD, take it away.
So long and so happy.
Thanks for listening to Sewing Out Loud. For even more expert sewing advice, visit sewhere.com.